Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Would you pass the damn ball?
Hot takes, hot takes, get your hot takes. That's
a bold prediction.
Welcome back to Pass the Damn Ball podcast with your host, Mitch. Part two featuring my dad of bold predictions, hot takes, hot predictions, bold takes for the upcoming NFL season. We give you our last ones. We go into a little detail about the Green Bay Packers and their upcoming season. Couldn't resist, of course. And we give our predictions for the worst teams in the NFL, all coming up on this episode.
The first three-peat Super Bowl champions of all time.
Don't do it.
The Kansas City Chiefs will win the Super Bowl again. You're all going to have to watch them on Super Bowl Sunday again. And they're going to win again.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody does. But unfortunately, they have the same core. They have the same coaches. They are incredibly in sync with each other. They get better as the year goes on. They get better in the playoffs. And they don't have a fast wide receiver. Marquez, Valdez, Scanley, hold on to the damn ball, baby! Dropping touchdown passes.
They got Hollywood Brown.
So they have they've actually improved. They've improved on their weapons and their options for Patrick Mahomes, and that's a scary thought.
MVS got a shout out. That's, man. I think that the Chiefs will make it to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I think they're going to lose.
Ooh.
That's where I stand.
That's another hot take.
That's where. So we're in this. Same realm. Yeah. I do see the Chiefs getting back there, but history has a strange way of repeating itself. There has not been a three-peat Super Bowl champion, even when the Patriots, because they were the last team to win three out of four. They had two out of three. They had a loss in between.
Yep.
I don't see a three-peat. I think they're going to get there. I think whoever they face in the NFC this year is going to beat them. And I don't necessarily have a logical explanation as to why that's going to happen, because I'm not predicting an NFC foe yet. Do you have an NFC prediction?
Mine is the Packers.
Oh my God, we have the same Super Bowl prediction.
Oh, I thought you just said you're not going to be bold enough to pick one yet! But
I'm scared to say the Packers.
looking at how they got on a roll last year, they barely lost in San Francisco. They should not have lost, but they did. Kudos to the Niners. They earned it. But we are not going to have the same field goal kicker. And we are going to be much better, much more aligned, and much more creative. So and a better defense even. So I'm excited.
Dad, I just said history has a strange way of repeating itself.
Correct.
What was the results of Super Bowl I?
Super Bowl I was a Packers blowout. They blew out the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. I think it was 35-17.
Okay. And I'll just let that sit there. Yep.
But going back in history and thinking about history, when you were young, there was this young basketball player drafted by the name of LeBron James. And I remember repeatedly over the years and years and years as LeBron's career progressed, saying to you that nobody will ever catch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record.
Correct.
Because of the number of years that Kareem played at such a high level was just... It was unimaginable. It's going to be very difficult to pass. And it was one of those, just like you're saying now, and I was thinking the same thing. It cannot be done. But reality comes, teams come, sports comes, and it's very exciting. things happen and records are made to be broken. And that's the same with no team ever having a three-peat in the Super Bowl. It's made, it's standing there, made to be broken by somebody. Maybe not this year. I predict it will be, but at some point it will happen.
That just speaks to the greatness of Mahomes and Andy Reid. And they brought everybody back on defense, and that defense is stout. Kelsey's back. They drafted a tight end that's going to eventually fill in Kelsey, and Kelsey has a lot of time to work with him. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So what is your fifth? Fifth and final bold prediction.
All right. I'm going to full circle this. So I don't know if you're aware, there's a big rap beef going on in the world between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Those are the two biggest rappers, at least from my generation. And they're having a personal beef. There's a lot of back and forth going on. So on social media, I saw this Dolphin fan write this rap song based on one of Kendrick Lamar's beef songs, They Not Like Us. Okay. They Not Like Us. They Not Like Us. And he was writing about how Dolphins 17-0, this is how we're going to beat every team. And I said, you are arguably the third best team in a lackluster division. And a lot of Dolphin fans got upset, as you can imagine.
Of course.
Very, you know, I'm a troll, they were calling me. But I said, actually, I'm a truth teller shining a light for you of what reality is.
Okay.
And one guy commented saying, bro, Miami is going to beat Green Bay so badly, you'll be crying to your mama about it. Love won't even be able to break 200 yards. I guarantee you that. Well, buddy, didn't look at the schedule because, again, Miami goes to Green Bay November 28th, where Tua does not play well when it's cold.
Yep.
Miami Dolphins overall as a team do not play well when it's cold. So I think that game, circle the calendar, November 28th, Jordan Love's going to throw for 4 touchdowns.
Mm.
He's going to have a 400-yard total game. So between running and passing, okay, he'll have over 400 yards total. Packers are going to blow the Dolphins out. Dolphins won't score more than 13 points that game. And Jordan Love will solidify his MVP. Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Would you pass the damn ball?
Hot takes, hot takes, get your hot
takes.
That's
a bold prediction. That's a bold prediction. I like it. You know, kind of going back to your initial comment, I mean, the only rappers I really get involved with are gum rappers, you know, not outside of that. That's correct. Yeah, that versus Wrigley's and all the way around. So I'm unfamiliar with the song or with the battle that's ongoing.
Okay.
But I do understand the passion. It was kind of interesting because, you know, it really, it goes back to when the Packers were going to San Francisco for the playoff game. And I was reading online quite a bit. The Packers or the Niners were favored by 12, I believe. And the one Niner fan was saying that the Packers will be lucky to score 10 points and they're going to lose by 4 touchdowns in San Francisco. Mm. And, you know, they're in the fourth quarter when the Packers are leading and the Niners are struggling to kind of find how to make it work. It was very obvious that, you know, the Packers are here. They are pulling it together. They're solid coaching. They're aligned. They've got a very, very good quarterback that, you know, that was questionable for a long time. Well, why did we draft him? We got Aaron Rodgers. You know, and then you compare Aaron Rodgers last year to Love's first year, and it was night and day. I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw 12 interceptions and barely passed. I don't even think he passed the 4,000 yard mark, and we didn't even make the playoffs. And you know, you look at a year later with a different quarterback and all new receivers, and just, I mean, everything. It speaks volumes that this game, football, it's a team sport, and there are divas out there, but it's how those divas, what they can do to a team can either be a plus or a minus depending on that person. And so I think the Packers are in a position to improve, and potentially they could at some point, I think Love could win an MVP, and maybe it is this year. I'm hoping so.
So what you're saying is Aaron Rodgers is a diva.
Aaron Rodgers is a diva. Does that surprise? I don't think that's a hot take.
No. Hot take?
I don't think that's a surprise.
Cool it down.
Yeah, all right.
Fire extinguisher.
It's not earth-shattering news there.
Nope. Wow.
But he can be a negative force or he can be a positive force. And Packer fans have seen both sides of that. Jets fans have not yet. And it's going to be interesting to see how he impacts that locker room.
I was watching an interview the other day, and they had a former GM on the show, and he was talking about who would you rather start your team with, Trevor Lawrence or Jordan Love? And his answer right away was Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, out of all the quarterbacks in the league right now, Jordan Love would be my second pick. And he was like, really? Like, it was shocking. A lot of people are unaware how well Jordan Love was playing. He was the best quarterback from week 10 on last season.
That's correct.
And he's like, Patrick Mahomes, start obviously first pick, and then Jordan Love, the upside, who he is as a person, his calmness. He's still got improvements to make too, and he's already there. So we're going to see Jordan Love. How badly did it hurt to see another Aaron Jones running back run in a playoff game versus the 49ers, him not score a touchdown or us not capitalize on points? Because that happened 3 seasons ago, and then that happened last year in the playoffs. How frustrating is that? And you see Jacobs making an impact?
I don't see a lot of difference there. I do think Jacobs is a different runner, maybe a little more of a power runner. And such. And because you have to go back and you got to stop and you got to take the emotion out of it. And the Niners defense is a stout defense. You're not running against, a weak front line or weak linebacking core or you have to kind of be realistic with your ability to score, but who you're playing as well. So, yes, would it have been great for them to score? Was there opportunities? Yes. Were there opportunities to kick field goals and have more points on the board? Yes. So, there's a lot of places where you can just look back and you kick yourself and you go, okay, well, we had opportunities. You learn from them. And then hopefully you do something different, the next time. That was the biggest difference in with Aaron Rodgers not being there, is I think we're being coached by the coach. And in the last games of the year, we saw that coach and that coach's potential really come through, shine through, because it wasn't revolving around Aaron Rodgers and what Aaron Rodgers wanted to do. It was revolving around what does this team need to do to beat the other team.
Right.
When you went into Dallas and you saw that offense tear Dallas, that Dallas defense apart, it's incredible to see that offense work. And it's working because it was a diverse group of receivers that all caught different passes at different times. And it's all the coach calling plays that are going to keep the defense off balance. And that's exactly what he does, and he's really good. So it's not left up to the quarterback anymore. Yes, the quarterback makes it happen. Yes, the quarterback can change plays, but there's a lot more reliance and I think confidence in the coaching and the plays and putting the ability of the players out there versus letting the quarterback run it and guide it. So it's going to be a big difference. Now, going back to Jordan Love and his really rookie season, He threw for over 4,000 yards, 32 touchdowns, I believe. And, you know, that's in his really first full year. And I look back at like the Chicago Bears, because they're one of the oldest teams in the NFL. And do you know the last time they had a 4,000 yard passer or a 30 touchdown passes in a season?
The Chicago Bears?
Yep.
They never have.
They never have. You know what the closest that they've come to that?
Jay Cutler.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Then it's got to be 80s. The 80s, right?
Late 80s.
Yeah. McMahon?
Nope.
Who?
It's the Hall of Famer, Eric Kramer. Who?
Not yes. From Seinfeld?
Eric Kramer was their quarterback. He threw for 3,800 yards.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball. And he threw for 28 touchdowns. That's the Bears' single season record. Of all time. They've been around since the 20s. I think in the teens. So it just speaks to the value of a quarterback, the value of getting it right, and then the confidence and faith that you put into a quarterback.
Didn't the Bears start in 1919 like us?
I believe so. It was a long time ago.
Bears were founded 1920. The Chicago Bears were founded in 1920 when the Staley Starch Company sponsored a football team in Decatur. Pretty sure I butchered that.
Decatur,
thank you.
Uh-huh.
Illinois. They were originally called the...
Decatur.
Mm-hmm. Staley's.
Oh, Decatur Staley's.
And, yeah. So they're going to be yelling, Chicago Bears fans are going to be yelling, Caleb Williams, pass the damn ball. And they got some nice wide receivers,
they
too.
They do. Yeah, they're going to be improved.
Thank you for that education, Mr. Adams, John. Appreciate it. So that was our five of bold predictions, was it not?
It was fun.
Wow.
No, thank you for allowing me to share. This has been a lot of fun.
You wanted to make a worst team prediction, correct?
Not worst. Well, yes.
Who's getting the number one draft pick next year?
We'll have the number one draft pick next year. So what my question to you, Mitch, is... what is your prediction of who will be picking first in the draft next year? Because the draft is actually happening in Green Bay.
The New York Giants.
Oh, New York Giants.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I've got the New Orleans Saints.
Whoa, what?
Yep. Why?
Derek Carr.
Because who's their quarterback?
No.
He's awful.
Wow.
So they need a new quarterback. I see them. They've lost a lot of pieces. They're going to be an interesting team. So I'm predicting that they get the first pick in the draft.
So, okay, just QB comparison, QB room here. So you would rather have Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew? Would you trust that as opposed to Derek Carr at this point in time?
Yes, I pretty much would rather have anybody over Derek Carr.
You think he's that bad? He's
pretty bad. He showed a lot of signs last year in a lot of big games that makes it very understandable why the Raiders cut it short and were ready to move on.
Even though they upset their wide receiver Devontae Adams, that was a big reason why he went there.
That's correct. There is no doubt. He's got an arm. He's got some talent, but he doesn't have the it factor in games to carry a team.
Wow, well said. Short, sweet, straight to the point. Just to go off the Giants, real quick. Daniel Jones is their quarterback, and they don't have anybody better than Daniel Jones, and that's very unfortunate because Daniel Jones is not good. They gave him that money. They're stuck with that contract. It was a disaster last season with Brian Daboll.
Hot takes, hot takes, get your hot takes!
The Giants defense isn't as good. I mean, they lost their best defender, Xavier, who went to Green Bay.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the weaker divisions in football, and they will be the weakest team in that division. Therefore, they will have the number one draft pick.
Very good. Well justified. Let's. I'm excited. Let's see what happens. Let's get it going.
Yes. Was there any sort of bold predictions that you left off that you maybe quickly want to mention? I know I was talking to you about how I wanted to say Tom Brady could make an appearance in a uniform. I slept on that overnight, talked to some Raider fans, and not only are they not down for that idea, they don't see the logic behind that, especially with him being in the broadcast booth. But is there any chance you see Brady, especially after the roast, like, is there some motivation of him going at, like, leaving the broadcast booth and playing for the Raiders? And the reason why it's the Raiders, because he has some stake in it, some ownership.
Yeah.
So do you see that as a possibility?
I don't really see that as a possibility, but I one of my bold predictions was and is essentially that Tom Brady will be a bust as a broadcaster. Whew. And get roasted for real this time. So that's one of my predictions that, you know, it always takes a while for us as watchers of football and listening to commentators and such. And we all have different preferences, and I get it. But it takes a while to get used to a new commentator. And Tom Brady, you know, for as great as he is as a quarterback and was as a quarterback, it's going to take a while for folks to kind of decide, is he good? Is he not good? Do I like him? Does he appeal to me? You know, what's his knowledge base? How does he come in? How does he work with, you know, the person he's working with? There's so much to it. And a lot of it does become chemistry. And they paid him a boatload of money, I think $10 million a year or something, to initially be the number one.
He seemed to catch a lot of big-time balls.
Network.
Right.
And it'll be interesting. So my prediction is that he will not come out to be like that number one guy and be as appealing to everybody as the networks are hoping, and that he kind of falls on his face as a broadcaster.
I was telling you this, that Greg Olsen, who Tom Brady is replacing as the number one color commentator for Fox, he won the Emmy this year for best broadcaster.
Right.
And Brady's about to take his place. Yep. Very, very awkward situation going on at Fox. So to be that guy, especially on the contract. Not to say that we're questioning Brady's going to rise to the occasion. Well, you might be, actually, with your bold take hot prediction. But I'm not sure if he'll get fired this year, let go. I think no matter if he's bad, they'll still keep him based on the amount of money that they gave him. And, okay, you had 1 year, Tom, to get all the cobwebs out, get yourself. We'll bring you back in next year.
Yeah. Agree.
So that's how I see it.
I don't think he'll get fired, but it'll definitely be an interesting learning for them, for the network and for him. Should be fun.
I think your prediction, he's most likely to bust as a broadcaster as opposed to unretire and play for the Raiders. I think that's more realistic.
Yeah.
John, thank you so much for coming on
to
the podcast. Pass the damn ball. Looking forward to more episodes of Pass the Damn Ball podcast. I am your host, Mitch. Follow me on Instagram at MitchellAdams492. Talk to y'all later. Thank you very much for listening. This episode is brought to you by Loomis Basin Brewing Company. Hey, summer is coming, and nothing is more satisfying than a cold, refreshing beer on a warm day. With Loomis Basin Brewing's tasty handcrafted beers, there's a little something for everybody. If you are a fan of IPAs, I suggest the Vindicator or the Haka. The back by popular demand Red Robin beer is a sweet, delicious red beer. And my current on-rotation favorite, the Mexican lager Taco Cat, and add a juicy lime to satisfy those taste buds. Loomis Basin Brewing Company, always on tap. always local.